Psalm 136, I want to leave with you today, verses 7 through to 9. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. The God of light, to him that made great lights. In this psalm, I remind you of what the psalmist is doing. He is showing why God's people ought to give God thanks. For the simple reason that God is so good. He has a gracious nature. He is kind and benevolent. He is generous. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And the evidence of this is seen in creation. It is seen in creation in two areas. The first is that he spread the earth above the waters. Verse 6, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. The second thing that the goodness of God is seen is in the creation of the great lights above the earth, to rule over day and over night. And that's our text today. To him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, and the moon and stars to rule by night. These two things we read about in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1 we read of many other aspects of creation. All creation preaches to us that God is good. The life of the creatures, the beauty and the provision that is in the earth. There is so much in creation that its message, even apart from the scriptures and apart from the word of God, even the message of creation itself, leaves man without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words. This is the words of creation. Not audible words, but nevertheless there is a declared word. There's a message in the creation, and that message goes to the ends of the world. And the message is that God is mighty. The message is that God is all wise, but it is also declaring that he is good. And so the creation around us shows us these things. In his works, we see that the Lord has great goodness. He has a benevolent nature. And in these two things that the psalmist highlights here, the earth above the waters and the lights shining down upon the earth, they are setting forth the goodness of God. They are proving to us that his hesed, his mercy, is enduring. And so the Holy Spirit is picking these areas of creation especially for us in the psalm. The earth is, as it were, out of the deep, but it is also out of the darkness. And now in telling us this, God is comforting his people. God is giving to you assurance of his mercy and his goodness in recalling to you these things. He is drawing us out by these truths to bless his name and to say in chorus, his mercy endureth forever. Now in the last message we thought about this above the waters, but today we must think about the darkness. The earth is a beautiful place, but its beauty could never be viewed without light. The universe is dark without the great luminaries throughout it. And so the light on the earth illuminates the earth so that we see its beauty. The light on the earth not only illuminates, it sustains the life upon the earth. Without the light, the earth would not only be dark, it would be dead. Darkness and death go together. But light and life go together. And it is a God who gives the light of life and the life of light. The light then is vital. It is of primary importance. And God made it and gave it to us, that life-bringing and that life-sustaining light. And he did so in his great goodness. Our text tells us this, that he gives to us great lights. Not just light, but it says great lights. This is a marvelous thing. We have these lights by day, because there is the sun to rule by day, and the moon and the stars then, they are there to rule by night. Every day, every night. During the day, the sun is ruling, burning brightly, warming the earth so we don't freeze to death, allowing us to do the labor of the day. But even at night, when we take to our houses and rest upon our beds, even at night, when we don't need the same burning heat or the same brightness of light, but still the Lord gives us the comforting light of the moon and of the stars to keep us out of the utter darkness, even in the night. And that's just the Lord. He is so good, so marvelously kind and considerate of us at the daytime and at the nighttime. You will notice that these lights rule. They are high and lofty. They are beyond the reach of men. Man cannot control them. Man cannot rule them. Man cannot extinguish them. Their gracious glow is always upon us, and mankind cannot put that out. For God has made these lights to rule. They rule. Bless his name that they rule. Mankind and wicked rulers want power. They want to control. And how far a few can control us has often been revealed in history. And in some respects, it's been very strongly manifested in these days in which we live, in this time of the much publicized virus. We are seeing the control that men can have in every area of our lives. But do you see that radiant sun and that reflective light of the moon and that wonderful glory of the stars? They can't touch that. They can't put the sun, the moon, and the stars on lockdown. They can't mask them. They can't restrict their rays of liberty and bounty. They truly rule the sun and the moon and the stars. And they do so because God has made it so. And God has made it so because he is good and his mercy endures forever. And because this reign and rule of the sun and moon and stars continues till the end of the world, setting forth to us the endurance of his mercy, his great kindness. So we bless his name. God is good. And we praise him and give him the glory. And so these things reveal to us who the Lord is and what the Lord is like. Gracious and merciful, the one keeping us above the deep, the one raising us up out of the deep, out of the waters, the one also who keeps us out of the darkness, giving to us the marvelous light. So creation in these matters, reveal God's gracious nature. Now you take Satan on the other hand. Who is he and what is he like? He also reveals himself by his works And what is he? He is identified with the deep. He is identified with the darkness. He is the opposite of God. He opposes God. He's anti-God and anti-Christ. Now, of course, he is limited because he is a creature. But he is the leader of all that are against God. And he has no goodness, no hesed. He hates goodness. He abhors mercy. He is unmerciful, malicious, hateful. He plunges men into the deep. He brings men into the darkness. He would keep them in the darkness. And so in Scripture, he is the Leviathan, the creature of the deep, that piercing serpent, Leviathan, that crooked serpent, that dragon that is in the sea, in the deep, in the waters. And in the book of the Revelation, we have seen this serpent and dragon, and you see him associated with these earthly waters and with the deep. You remember whenever the apostle was standing on the shore and he saw a beast rise up out of the sea, out of the waters, having 7 heads and 10 horns, just like the dragon, this satanic beast. You remember how the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. He brought the many waters after the woman who was carried away into the wilderness, away from the flood. And so the devil is associated with the deep, and with the abyss, with the bottomless pit. You remember how that they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. The devil, he's the angel of the deep. He is the one who ascends out of the abyss to make war with the saints. This one from the deep, who would plunge mankind into the deep with him. And not only would plunge us into the deep, but would also plunge us into the darkness. So the devil is the opposite of God. He is the power of darkness, the wicked one. He is the god of this world who blinds the minds of men which believe not, to keep out the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against these principalities and powers, against these satanic rulers of the darkness of this world. But it is not Satan who is my subject and my theme today. We're not preaching on the badness and the hatred and the darkness and the malice of Satan. I am reminding you of much more encouraging things. I am reminding you of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am reminding you of the marvelous mercy and loving kindness of our Savior, of the God who made great lights, because his nature is good and gracious. He made the light because he is like the light himself. He is light. And he made the light to be like himself that shines upon us. God is light, the Bible says in actual fact. In him is no darkness at all. We read in concerning heaven and the eternal world of the redeemed that they don't need the sun, neither the moon, for the glory of the Lord enlightens them, and the Lamb himself is the light thereof. But while we are on the earth, we have these great luminaries that the Lord has graciously given to us. And so the people of God then can sing this song, not only as they pass through the waters, not only as they go into the deep at times, but also as they pass through the darkness. This is why these verses are really in this psalm. It is telling us it is the nature of God to give light unto men. It is his nature to enlighten our darkness. For the Lord is good. And God's people knew that it was God's grace that brought them out of darkness at the very beginning. Yes, we see it in creation, but we also see it in redemption. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath also shined in our hearts, in the hearts of believers, to give to us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible teaches. We were sometimes darkness, but now, through grace, this God of light, this God who made the great lights at the creation, this God has made his people to be the children of light, to be light in the Lord. And they are to walk as those who are the children of light. So he is the God who not only gave the newly created world the great luminaries, he is the God who has given this fallen world the great luminaries of his grace. He's still the same. Though the world was ruined by the fall, though Satan plunged it into darkness and seemed as one who was pulling it down into the abyss, but God is good and God is gracious. And even as he made the earth to be above the waters, so in his grace he redeems a people and he gives them foundation and a footing. He puts them on a solid rock and he brings them up and saves them from the abyss. And he keeps them from the waters and he keeps them through the waters. And he also, as it were, in the new creation made great lights. And he brings his people into the marvelous light of his grace, of his salvation. And he causes his people to walk in the light of his word. So what I'm saying is, this God who has thus revealed himself in creation also thus reveals himself in redemption. He comes. He gloriously and graciously comes and illuminates our darkness. He has made us to see. He has given to us his holy word. He has made this great light. For he is good, and so the word is a great light that the Lord has given to us, a light to illuminate the way, a light to show us the right path, a light that enables us to see the glories of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word is a great light indeed. And we can't sing of these great lights in creation, but we think of this great light in redemption. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As Peter said, we have the sure word of prophecy as unto a light that shines in a dark place. It's burning and glowing in the darkness of this world. God's wonderful word, the Holy Scriptures. And that word will shine until the day dawn. And the day star rise in our hearts. And we would do well to give heed unto that word on this dark earth. And so we are blessed because the God of goodness and the God of grace, the richly gracious God, has graciously given to us his holy word, so that the people which sat in darkness have great light. And those of us who have been in the region and shadow of death, this light of God's holy word has sprung up, and we have our Bibles. You can't sing this psalm, but that you think not only of the sun and the moon and the stars, but you must also think of your Bible, of the Holy Scriptures that the Lord has given to us to lead us out of the darkness into the marvelous light of his grace. How good is God? We should not, therefore, neglect our Bibles. We have no excuse if we sit in darkness still. Oh, the ungodly have no excuse. Yes, they have the light of creation. Now, in that abundance of grace, God has given to them the light of His Word. And they have no excuse. We have the Word. And we can get under the Word. And we can bask in the rays of the light of the Word. And we ought to do so. God's people certainly ought to do so. And all the unconverted sinners who are out in the world of darkness, they are called to get under the Word, to get under the radiant light of Holy Scripture, to read the Bible and to hear it preached and proclaimed, to bring themselves out of the darkness and to bring themselves into the illumination that the Word gives. Men need to be under the Word. A man should bring themselves under the Word. And it is the devil's job to keep them in the darkness, to keep them from coming out into the radiant rays of the Word. But we're thinking of the marvelous mercy of God that endures. Every generation has God's Word. Men have tried to destroy it. Men have tried to take it from us. But it rules. The Bible rules like the sun and the moon and the stars. Man cannot touch it. Man cannot put out its radiance. It lasts like the moon. It endures as the sun. And why is this? It rules our day and it rules our night because God is good. God has set His Word outside the sphere of man's authority and power. By day and by night, this great light, however dark the night is upon this earth, you can still turn to the Word. You can still draw from the Holy Scriptures. God made the great lights. And what a marvelous light is the Word. Of course, this Word is light because Christ is light. Christ is the eternal light shining through and in His Word. He gives to Scripture its brilliance, its glory, its light. The Word of Scripture is light because the eternal Word is light. The Word who was with God, the Word who was God and who was in time manifested in flesh, for the Word was made flesh. And that Word is the light of the world. The incarnate one is the light who came into the world. Light of light, God of God, very God of very God, who Himself came, the great light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord God Himself is a sun and shield. And so the great luminary over our world is none other than Christ, who lighteneth every man who cometh into the world, for He is light. And the Lord gives grace and glory out of His radiance, for He is good. Arise, shine, the church is told, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord Himself has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen over thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. And the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God the glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. That's in Christ. This is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, who came into the world, who made all things. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so Jesus Christ has been given to us. God the Father has given to us a great light. He has given him to be, as it were, a light of the Gentiles. I've given thee for a covenant of the people. I've given thee to a dark world. I've given thee to them that lie in darkness and in the shadow of death. I've given thee to the Gentiles to be their light. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave great lights. He did so because of his mercy. He did so because of his marvelous grace. This is the gospel. The gospel can be found in these words. Even as we look at the creation, this is the God who made the great light that shone on creation day. And this is the God who has given us the light of his salvation in the day of man's fall and apostasy. For God is good. God is gracious. His mercy endureth forever. And you should often come to Christ, fellow saints. Stand under the light of his countenance. What does the Bible say? O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us, as it were, stand under the sun of righteousness, and let his healing rays filter down into our souls. And so, fellow saints, seek his face always. Abide under his glory. Come into his presence. Say, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. This is where you should be abiding, child of God. Under the radiance of Christ's face. Coming to his throne of grace. Abiding in the light. Walking in the light. Not in darkness. Not in hatred and bitterness. Not in malice and anger, not in the works of the devil, but in the light. As the Bible says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. He's not enjoying the countenance of Christ's face. He's walking in darkness, and he doesn't know where he goes because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Oh, come into the light of his countenance. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that walketh in darkness, and has no light? There's a remedy for you. There is a place for you. There is hope for you. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him come and walk in the light of the Lord. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we can enjoy the fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We're thinking of God's marvelous mercy. We're thinking of His grace that has given to us these great lights. The light of the sun, the light of the moon and the stars, the light of the Word, the light of His own dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the divine light that radiates from His own eternal essence. Another great light is the church. The saints are light. They shine. They shine individually, or they ought to shine. And they shine collectively because the church is the light, more like the moon in actual fact than the sun. The moon is the light that is receiving the radiance from the sun. The moon's light is the sun's light received and reflected. And we are like the moon. Our light is from Christ only. And it is reflected and radiated by us in the marvelous grace of God. We reflect His light, for we have His Word. We reflect His light, for we have received that Christ. And we have that light of the world. And we are to show it and manifest it to all men upon the earth during its dark night, even that night in which we now live in and find ourselves in, between the advents of Christ. Remember how it says in the Bible, "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners?" This is the bride. This is the church. Fair as the moon. And the people of God are great lights. And God's house is a great light. And the church is a great light. And we are to be the sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in a dark place indeed, among whom we are to shine as lights in the world. That verse that I quoted from Isaiah, I remind you of it again, Isaiah 60 verse 1, where the church is called to arise and to shine. The light has come. The Lord has come. The Lord has saved us in His marvelous, enduring mercy. And we are to shine forth that very light of the glory of the risen Lord. Even as our Savior said to us, "You are the light of the world." Men don't light candles and put them under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives all light to them that are in the house. Let your light then so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's where we are now. We're in the dark world and we are in the night of this world. And like the moon to rule by night. That's the church. The church receives not its light from governments. Nor can governments put out its light. Its light cannot be shut down. Its light cannot be masked. Its light endures. The church endures. It rules by night. Because Christ has given to it His authority. And we can come to church and ought to do so and bask in the light of the Word. Ruling by night. As I said, Satan cannot put out that light, try as he may. The church rules because Christ rules. Of course, over time there is variation in the church's life, even as with the moon. You know that the moon Sometimes parts of it are deprived of light, and we only see part of a moon, and sometimes the moon is, as it were, eclipsed, obscured. And there are times when the church is persecuted. There's time when the church is attacked. There are times when the church seems to darken through apostasy and through satanic opposition. But like the moon, in God's mercy, it always emerges to shine again, to set forth its splendor, and to diffuse over the world the marvelous truth of the light of the gospel. And so these clouds sometimes can come, but nevertheless, it rules still. Child of God, this is meant to be for you an encouraging word. The Lord is still good. His mercy is still enduring forever. You see it in the great lights of creation, which he hath made to be a mirror of the great lights of redemption. Isn't his mercy marvelous? Isn't it marvelously enduring? Isn't it marvelously warm and winsome? Isn't it sweet? Child of God, are you going through a dark time? Are you, even as we said the other day, are you passing through the waters? Are you struggling under a shadow? Are you battling with the darkness of this world? Even as we all are. And there are times when we seem to go into deeper darkness. And even at times there seems to be the dark night of the soul. And all light nearly seems to be gone. But let this psalm revive your spirit. Let your soul revive in the singing of this psalm, especially singing these verses about the great lights. Singing these verses with understanding, and singing them with understanding, rejoice in the Lord. So look to him. Look to him, child of God, who brings you through the waters. Look to him who alone is the one who can lift you up above the waters. Look to him who leads you through the darkness. And even though you cannot seem to see the rays of his countenance, remember this. He is still good. His mercy endures forever. His light has not been put out, nor ever shall. And he will lead you through the darkness, and you will come out the other side, and you'll see the glories of the Lord afresh. Oh, bless his wonderful and holy name, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And to him, and to his Son, Jesus Christ, and to the blessed Holy Spirit, the divine illuminator of men's minds and hearts, be everlasting glory, now and always. Amen.